Do you have a good drum there? I always do that. Welcome into episode 100 of Caithness Craft Collective. Who knew I'd get here? I'm Louise and it's party time. So grab your crafty sparkly bag, put your sparkles on. Let's get this party started. My, you look gorgeous tonight. There's Arlen all smartened up in his kilt and there's Sticks and Spokes. Oh, she scrubs up quite well too. A weigh in for my longest time listeners, Carrot Drake, her husband Steve, Denny Knitter, Sandrada, and to my newest, T.M. Owens, and all of you in between. And I'm getting this from the list of my group members rather than who's listened to all of them. Plus, this is for you lurkers who aren't in the group but listen anyway. Welcome in. Come in! And you new listeners, some of these names will go over your head, but occasionally we have one of these parties, and I think it's about time I had another one. I've had a great week because it was my mum's birthday, my birthday. Well, you'll hear a little bit about that. Well, actually quite a lot about that in our double dram segment this episode. And then it was Richard's birthday. So we've eaten out a lot. And thank you for all the birthday greetings. It was very much appreciated. And with all the messages for the episodes, I'm feeling a bit... This is your life, but without the big red book. I've got a small blue book instead, and it's got notes from the podcast highlights that I've had. Of course, I have to have you all in the party. Again, we return to Harry Potter, but this time I think we will use the big marquee tent that they have for the wedding in the last book. It will fit us all in. Only without the Death Eaters. I didn't invite them. Really, it's not real, so we're not having any of them. For you non-Harry Potters, just smile. Let us get on with it. Take a seat and drink and let us carry on being geeks, because you know we like to be. Are you sitting comfortably, children? Get your cups, your glasses out. And we've hired the house elves again, so your glasses and your plates will never be empty. And we are paying for them. No slavery here. And you're knitting, but make that the Knit Night project, because you'll need to concentrate listening to me, because it's about me. You might need to stop speaking here. Woolly bear pedal. Shht. I'm going to drop in the listener messages through the episode as they crop up, and there is a horrendous amount of listener names in here. And I really apologise now if I don't mention you. I tried to get in as many as I could. Well, now, I'm going to Scooby-Doo myself back in time, 4 years. In fact, take that back, 8 years. I was first handed an MP3 player was when I was in the hospital before I had Sandy. And I was filled with music that got me through a few hard days. And I used to listen to Chris Moyles on the breakfast radio, and he was going on about a podcast download. Then when Sandy was born and I handed back the MP3 player back to Sandy's godfather, Richard bought me my own one. This one had a radio and I filled it with music and podcasts. And it was about this time I found some knitting podcasts such as Brenda Dean, Lyman Violet, and then Glory Be, the Electric Sheep with Hoxton Handmade. She was British, she knew her knitting stuff, she made me laugh out loud, a lot, and I spent a lot of time in hospital to have our $1 million baby Daisy. Well, I've actually worked out how much the NHS spent on her thereabouts, and it was about that. She's worth every penny, believe me. And then it got me through the night feeds, the relentless days of tiredness, and I was on to knitting then, and crocheting and embroidery at the time. And when Daisy was about 7 months old, I started to go to textile artists. Then I went to listen to a podcast about textile artists and couldn't find one. At this point, never occurred to me to be a podcaster. I just wanted someone else to do it for me. Plus, listening to Hoxton, well, she was the bar and it was very high. Now, this next bit might sound a bit like an insult, but believe me, it is not. My muse, my beloved, my inspiration came when Nick from Yarns from the Plain burst onto the scene. Her production was not the same singing and dancing. But here's her message.
Hi Louise, it's Nick from Yarns from the Plain. Just want to wish you all the best and congratulations on your 100 episodes. Excellent! I will get there one day, maybe. All right, hope you have a great one. And Slanjiva, bye!
Isn't she brilliant? She was British, she'd a very different style altogether to Hoxton, but yeah, it was just brilliant. Oop, too brilliant. Adjective that. Hold on, we'll just go look it up. Luminous, radiant, dazzling, sparkling, gleaming, shining, bright. Well, the last one's No, right, because it says dull, but that's the antimoon. I again had the, I wish someone would do a textile artist podcast wish, and yet nobody had. And then one day, and I remember quite clearly exactly where I was, walking the small dog in the barrens, listening and thought, hey, I should do one. I don't know why that came into my head, but there was no Scottish podcaster, no textile artist podcaster, and certainly nobody from Caithness on air. I should do it. Me. Me. Again. Me. I said to Richard, and he said, ugh, go for it. He had a microphone that I could use, and we had editing software on the laptop already. Although it turns out it was videoing editing software, but I wrote notes and off I went. For you few listeners who actually went back or were about and listened to the early episodes, I applaud you. But whilst I cringe at the production of it, some of my favourite blathers are from those first 10 episodes. I tried to have themes. Can you remember the Mr. Men series when I got Sandy to talk to you about each Mr. Man? I may yet bring that back because he still asks about it. And we still have the phrase, well, mummy, because that's what he started the first one with and it creased me up. And the reason I have the bairns introducing the segments is because, well, I couldn't work the music at the start and they're free. I don't have to pay the bairns copyright. I just feed and board them and pick up after them and be their slave. And I would like to thank them both on tape, as it was for their kindness in doing it, even though they were forced to, and for putting up with the back of mummy's head while she stands facing the lap when the bairns want my attention. Although it has to be said, they've done really well from you listeners over the years. From Maps of the USA, from Silver Spring Knit, Spaceman Ice Cream, to Sweeties from Gingerbread Bunny, Postcards from Spajo, and information for their homework projects from quite a few of you now. And here's your message from them. And I've not edited this because it made me laugh.
Thank you for all the stuff. What? Hope you enjoyed the episode.
Right, do you want to do it the other way around? Right, you say thank you for all the stuff.
Thank you for all the stuff. Hope you enjoyed the episode.
And you can hear Sandy telling her what to say, bless her. Thank you, my darlings. Now, I was trolling around iTunes the other day, seeing if I had any new reviews, which I don't in the UK. I've got some lovely ones, but you know what would make me delighted is if you gave me a review. It's free, and it really does mean loads to me. I'd like to have 100 reviews. That's quite a lot coming from 28 in the UK. I know there's a fair bit more in the US and in Canada, but as long as you can remember your iTunes password, you're sorted. And going back down the list, I saw some episodes that I had totally forgotten about. Totally. And then there was the Desert Island Discs version, the Knit a Lottery Dream, and we cruised about in the big ship when I won the imaginary lottery. There was the Craft Room 101, where we shoved in the stuff we didn't like. And then Show Us the Thistle, where I had stood on a thistle, and we talked about weeds. I wish I'd forgotten about that bit, but the blather was good, I enjoyed that. Then I found all the Designer Alley entrance, and oh, we've made some wonderful friends. Natalie Servant, Amanda Shuttermonkey, Ruth Crafts, Sarah Monty, Anna Dalvey, oh here he comes, Robin Ulrich, Jackie Hardin, Katrina Westerman and Katie Swift. And you're right, Sandra, there is plenty more room for plenty more. I really enjoyed this series, finding out more about the design process, and I have so much more respect for a well-written pattern and to the people who do them. When I think about all the wonderful listeners, the interaction, the banter we have, I'm thankful that I have only had the very occasional snark. Actually, the one that sticks out the most was from a yarn company that shall remain nameless, and I don't mention them anymore. I'm a big girl, and I move on. We've had listeners come and go, and I've had a wonderful time meeting some of you in actual person. Some highlights of my holiday or days out were meeting lovely listeners, and I'll mention you shamelessly here. Giffnet Girl, Ugly Betty, Beth Hall, Happy Lucky, Molly Makes, Fema, Fiona from Canasby, Bed Warren, Eltvj, that's Judith, sorry Judith, I murdered that, Ditsy Fitzy, London Sam and White Heart, and she's left us a message.
Hi Louise, this is Sadie, White Heart, just sending you a message to say congratulations on reaching 100 podcasts. Thank you very much for all the laughs and for the random hellos, which always make me smile when I'm on my way to work in the morning. I'm wishing you all the best for the next 100.
Isn't she lovely? I still can't get over the amount of knitting she was wearing when we met her last. And I really want to do that tortoise shawl now. However, I'll add it to the queue. Well, I think it's about time that we had some dancing. So come on, get your little bags with your dancing pumps on and take your high heels off. Take to the floor with Sandy and Daisy leading you off in the Gay Gordons, which is always the first one. And because this is magic, you all know how to do it. And for those of you doubting your knees will keep you up, don't. This is magic, so get up. There's nothing better than a wee whirl around the dance floor and you getting a bit wrong, so much the better. It's funnier. I mean, check out Diane Jensen dancing. She's a professional and she still stands on Arlen's feet. Although I reckon that's on purpose. Okay, a wee break now for a little craft time. Pick a corner, any corner. Although, I suppose we really only have four. Try something I've talked about. Step out your knitting comfort zone. You, Laura Gayson, DP Temple and Karen E. 1969, you sit there. Can knit Furry Face Fibres and GC Randalls over in that one. I've covered quite a few crafts over the years. Predominantly knitting, it has to be said, rather than the textile artist start I've had. Some of this is down to the portability of knitting. I can sit pretty much anywhere with just some sticks and strings in my hand, rather than needing the bag, the paint, the beads, and the messy stuff. But I have talked about textile artist techniques, and I would like to revisit these as well. Embroidery, needle felting, wet felting, dyed materials, yarns, learning to crochet, quilting. Amongst various other things, but mostly my knitting progress. And when I started, I only really did stuff for my bairns, such as a wee jumper or possibly a hat. And now I can do shawls, socks, hats, jumpers, bags, cowls, lace work, a little bit of colour work, and my mantra of knitting is like gardening. It doesn't matter how much you know now, there is still so much more to learn. So off you go. Go and learn some new stuff. I was also very kindly interviewed by Susan Dolph on Knit a Journey podcast, which was brilliant. Hello, Susan. Oh, I miss her voice. This is her microphone. It still belongs to her, even though it's mine. So a piece of her is still with me. And it was one of my highlights. And I felt I'd made it as a podcaster. And then plus she gave me a compliment as she signed off. And it's something I've never forgotten. And it helps when I doubt my podcasting ability. So see, a wee compliment here and there, it can make all the difference in all the world. We used to have the craft fairy way back when I started to receive gifts from you. But after a bit, I dropped it because it made me feel like I was rubbing it in your face. It's like, look at me getting stuff in the post. And I'd like to keep it in, though this week I am saying very much thank you to Bionic Knitter Woman in Tasmania for a lovely package. They took it into show and tell. And thank you to Valeria for the lovely pattern. And to Louise Golly for the 100 card. Here's Louise's message.
Happy 100 episodes, Louise. It's Louise from Knit British here, just popping in to say I hope you're making the most of your centenary celebrations. I always look forward to your podcasts. You're a big inspiration to me and lots of other podcasters. You're topics are always so fresh and your sense of humour is the best. If you can find it in your archives, I want to hear you singing along to The Proclaimers after being to see Sunshine and Leith because that made me laugh out loud on the bus. Happy 100 episodes again. All the very best. Now, where did I put that champagne bottle?
I'm on my way from misery to happiness today. Is she just not fabulous? She hosts the Knit British podcast and I really do recommend this because she's just fantastic. I love Louise. She's my Louise squared. We have a Louise cubed coming up soon. I would also like to thank the listener, and I'm sorry, I'm not sure who it was now, but they asked me to tell you more about whiskey. So it's your fault. This is where Richard joined in the podcast onto a regular basis. So let's all stand up for a toast. Charge your glasses, Saratoga Knitting, Good Girl Saturday and Muzzer Zed. This is to the listener who turned us all into druths. What was that, Gold Thread? WeDrinkResponsibly.com. Yes, we do. And we can now all tell you the colour of our dram on our easy access scale of Barbie hair through from Winnie the Pooh to Dirty Chewbacca. Plus, it gave Richard a good idea of why I was late to bed in a podcast recording and editing night. And he stopped moaning about it, bless him. Plus, we've shared doing the drams on Yarns from the Plain, a Playful Day podcast, and we've been plied with Uzo from Wings from the Marsh in Greece. She's just a really nice listener, and her husband and her bairnies. Drams are for sharing, really. And whilst we've done most of the selection now from Tesco Thurso, we have most of J.A. Mackay's Grocers and Thurso selection to drink through yet. So don't worry, it's not going away. And recently, when I barged onto the Twin Set Design podcast Thanksgiving episode, we'd Skyped the conversation and I insisted on doing it as a video conversation. And of course they said, "Good morning, Louise," and they cheered me on with a Chewbacca-coloured drink in their glass. It was 9 in the morning, I hasten to add. I also realised recently how long they have been listening to me as well when I went back through all the boards. And I hope that makes me happy. So here is their message, which made me laugh and laugh and laugh out loud. It still makes me laugh when I think about it. Here you can hear my smile in my voice.
Hey, Ellen.
Hey, Jan.
It's episode 100. And I don't know what day it is.
You don't know what you're talking about, period. It's not episode 100.
Sure it is. It's Louise's 100th episode of Caithness Craft Collective.
Of course it is. Oh, we are so thrilled for Louise.
She has brought us so much fun, so much laughter, and so much joy in being part of her knitting circle.
And I consider Louise to be part of our global knitting conversation. Thank you, Louise, for being part of our world, and we are sure looking forward to what you bring us in the future.
And congratulations. And listeners, remember, don't knit like my sister.
Don't knit like my sister.
Knit like Louise.
Thank you, ladies. That was just brilliant. Twinset Ellen lives in Minnesota. And can you remember way back, in episode 13, and I had run a competition to twin my village of May, Caithness, with somewhere else in the entire world? Well, Laurie Starr from Roseville, Minnesota won. Whilst, of course, it's not official, I think it's brilliant. And I've got a fair few listeners out there, and none less than Acanthus and All That Cake Knit round the Minnesota area. I have the first drams for this episode that Richard and I recorded last Thursday for my birthday, and it's an Edinburgh Gin Company spiced orange flavour.
We're drumming, happy birthday. We're drumming, happy birthday. We're drumming, we're drumming, we're drumming, we're drumming. Happy birthday to Louise. We hope you like drumming too. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much. This is not only the 100th episode drams, but it is my birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, and thank you to everybody who's been put a message up. And if you would be so kind to celebrate my birthday with a wee iTunes review, I'd be more than grateful, because I've decided that's what I want for my birthday from y'all. So this episode, listeners, we are tasting two drams. We've got an Old Pulteney Stroma Malt Whiskey Liqueur, and we have got a Edinburgh Gin Spiced Orange Gin.
Yeah. It's not very gin tasting, it's just orange.
We haven't come to what they taste like yet, yeah.
No, it's just, I'm just saying it's
orange. Right. So the first thing we'll do, this gin is my birthday present from Richard.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And where did you get it from?
Mackay's.
In?
In Thurso.
Uh-huh.
Thurso.
I'll not ask him what it was without being a present.
No, and they did it in a hamper.
Ooh.
They do a hamper and we just chuck in whatever we want and... Well, you can see what I got. Put it in the hamper and it was all good.
I got some cheese. I've turned into Wallace and Gromit. I love cheese. And that's part of the problem of not being a skinny thin thing. But I like cheese and I'll not apologise for it. But Richard bought me some cheese and some Caithness oat cakes. Some Caithness chutney and some Caithness oat cakes. So I'm quite delighted with that because we just finished the last Caithness oat cakes last night. So the bottle... is very short and dumpy. But I like myself. I think he saw it and thought of me.
I did. I looked at it and thought you.
And it's 50 centilitres. They got 50 centilitres in that little pity bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's
must be wider than...
It's little and dumpy.
Yeah. And it's 20% volume. It's infused with spice orange. Here he comes.
That's Quattro.
Quattro got given out one of them bone things. You know, you get them, not rubber bones, but...
Dental bone things.
A dental bone today. So you might hear some weird noises in the background. Oh, It's the Spencerfield Spirit Company, Product Scotland, on the front, and it's got a lovely orange tree logo. And crystal clear Edinburgh gin infused with burstingly fresh, sweet red oranges from Valencia. Adding Seville oranges brings a deeper tone and lime and extra zing, hints of cinnamon and spice being Eastern Promise and honeyed raisin finish. I glazed over there. Delicious on its own, over ice, as a long drink with soda, a slice of orange, or a special occasion with a cava or champagne. A splash added to mulled cider promises cosy fireside winter evenings or festive Christmas. www.edinburghgin.com. Don't see where it says it, but drink responsibly, people. Mm-hmm. Not like me tonight. So, colour?
I've definitely seen that as orange.
Yes, but you need to give the listeners...
Well, imagine Barbie who went to a tanning salon in Glasgow and got the tango tan.
Okay, no offence, Glasgow listeners, but you know what I'm talking about. And yes, it's very orange. Kind of like, not as Iron Brew orange, but...
But almost.
Yes, it would go very well with a blue teal, I would say, and some brown. So, taste...
Orange. Certainly the smell is orange.
It's very tasty. It's a
lovely
orange.
Smell of orange.
It does taste lovely of orange. And we are by a fireside and it is still winter. But spring if you're in Canada. And last episode I was saying...
Give or take 6 days.
Last episode I was saying about how they might be winter, but we've got spring, so get it up ye. You might have a curling gold, but we've got crocuses growing in green.
Yeah, and a silver.
And a silver. I like the rest of Canadians, I just don't like the men's curling team. I was a bad loser. So, taste, Richard. The colour in the glass is just slightly less vibrant orange.
Orange. Very orangey.
Are you getting any other, like, lime or cinnamon or raisins?
It sounds quite twee, but I'll just get marmalade flavour, kind of.
Orange. Do you know who'd like this?
A Paddington Bear.
Paddington Bear with marmalade sandwiches.
Yes.
And they're making a film about Paddington.
Yes.
I've seen the poster.
Are you going to invite Paddington?
I never thought about that. I might do.
Hmm. Okay.
So who are you inviting along for this, Jim?
Well, you might have heard this boy.
Come.
Lucas Jackson.
And who's Lucas Jackson for those listeners that haven't? I know who he is.
Cool Hand Luke.
Uh-huh.
From the film.
Cool Hand Luke. And why are you inviting a convict to my house for a drink?
Because he's not really a convict.
Well, he's Paul Newman.
He's Paul Newman. He's a missionary. He stands for all that is proud about standing up against a man.
But would you like to explain why we're having him tonight of all nights on
tonight,
my birthday?
Because he's quite topical. Because we had the... an enormous portion of spaghetti bolognese for the birthday dinner with garlic bread. And Sandy, who has...
Spaghetti bolognese is my favourite dinner, you see.
And Sandy, who our number one son, who has a very, very small appetite and selective taste for food, loves spaghetti bolognese and ate a portion... That was just huge.
It was about the size of Richard's head.
And it had garlic bread. And then he had chocolate cake with squishy cream. And then he had a chocolate eclair.
And then he asked for more.
And he asked for more. And we laid him on the table and rubbed his belly and went, no one can eat 50 eggs. My boy can eat 50 eggs.
And because this is a scene from the film, Cool Hand Luke.
So that's why I'm inviting Lucas.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have Paddington over for this one. But I was actually going to have Putin.
We're going to have that. We can miss it out and have Putin for the...
No, I've got another lot for the Putin, right. For the second, for that one. I was going to have Vladimir Putin because he's going a little bit skew-whiff off in Ukraine. And, of course, I'm trying to share the birthday love. And I just want him to sit down and say, just chill out, have a wee gin.
But you have to read both sides of the story.
Yes, I know. He would be able to tell us his side of the story.
Yes, we have to read the Russian media as well as the Western democratic media. They're two very different sides of a story.
I know, but do you not think that would be a good way of doing diplomatic relations?
Would you give him vodka? Would you think he would behave in this kitchen?
Oh no, I want him to have gin.
Give him gin.
I would give him this gin.
He might be a black belt in judo.
I'm a black belt in Wick street fighting.
Aye, exactly.
And you're a black belt in Kuxu.
And Sandy's a red belt.
And we've got Quattro. No, actually, hold on. We've got Daisy, and she's asleep. So, he would behave himself. I'm sure he'd be a complete gentleman.
Aye, Putin. No. Sit there. Behave.
Drink your gin.
Less of this Chechen nonsense.
Yeah, let's just feel love. He can embrace our love, and he might have his love to give to us. We would find out. That's why I would have him round.
So, yeah, he seems a bit of a repressed soul, to be honest.
Well, I think that's what everybody thinks. But we would find out, and that's the whole point.
But is that the message that he's meant to be portrayed in the Western media? That's what you can ask yourself.
Oh, I think you've had too much gin. Would you buy this again?
No.
No, neither would I.
I prefer normal gin, to be honest.
I don't actually taste the gin.
Taste gin at all, no. I like gin. I like the taste of gin. I love the smell of gin.
It's a kind of synthetic, kind of orange smell.
Mm-hmm.
It's not dislikable, and I'm very grateful you bought it for my present. But, let's say I wouldn't buy it again. And we do always ask this question in it. So, anyway, that's Edinburgh gin, spiced orange. And a puffy Quattro, sounding like a train. Earlier in the podcast scene history, I used to have Vimto Craft with my friend Sarah. And she listened. I don't think she's listened for quite a while, but she used to listen and she might come back to it. And I used to do it for her. So hello, Sarah. Thank you for all your support over the years. It's much appreciated. And craft night on Tuesday. On to the quiz. So we've danced, we've drunk. Now we're going to have to do a quiz. I've got some cracking prizes. Fantastic prizes. I couldn't believe the generosity of you lot. Peace Weaver. Now, she's had a booth at the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival for about 25 years. We've all heard of Maryland Sheep and Wool, haven't we? Well, it says MD, but I'm assuming that's Maryland. And she has a lamb puppet, or some yarn, or a $25 voucher for her stand if you are actually attending the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival this year to give away. So you've got the lamb puppet, the yarn, or if you're going to the festival, you can have the voucher if you like. Thank you, Peace Weaver. It's very kind. And Cece Allen from the Geeky Girls Knit video cast has a pattern from her store to give away too. I actually figured out that I could watch them now. If I stream a video podcast, it works, pretty much. So that's how I've been watching Woolly Bear. I stream it. So I thought, I don't have to download all the videos. But what I do, you love this, I watch them when I'm on the running machine. Although I had to actually give up yesterday on account of 7.5 miles an hour. It's too fast for my little leggies. And I had to go back to music because, Cece, you're lovely. And your daughter, oh, she's just a peach. But, you know, you need to shout more motivating things at me. Like, run faster, get those knees up. Anyway, sorry, moving on. Happy Debris, who is a really nice listener, has offered some locally to her dyed yarn for a giveaway. Now this is just beautiful. It is pink. She has got two skeins of Willow Knits silk yarn, and it's in cranberry red colour, kind of pinky looking on the photograph, and it's worsted, and it was 450 yards. So you can make something out of that. And she did say, well, I send it to you so you can send it on. And I thought, if I get that in the post, nobody's getting it because it's just gorgeous colours. Oh, so that was very generous of her. So far we've got Peace Weaver's lamb puppet yarn or voucher, Cece Allman's pattern, Happy Debris' two skeins of yarn. I'm going to put together a wee bag for my usual items of the project bag in the bookmark. A Martine from iMake, who is going to give away a copy of her online iMake magazine. Have we all bought her recent one? I know I haven't yet, and she reminded me when she said that, so I'm going to get it because it's really good. And I wish I was winning this one as well. So best wishes to Martine on doing her London Marathon. I hope that you complete it in the time you want to complete it and you enjoy yourself as well. Nick from Yarns for the Plain, bless her, has offered up a skein of Nether Alderley sock yarn or a braid of fibre. Bearing in mind Nick has been dyeing stuff, I would say this is a cracking price. And finally, Marta of Marza Schmarza has offered a pattern from her Ravelry or Etsy shop, and she has very nice hats on there. So, these are going to be given to a listener. Not all of them, you'll get one each. So there's, hold on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 prizes. My goodness, that's the most I've ever done. So 7 winners, because you get one each, will be given to the listeners who answer all 5 of the following me questions correctly and has their name pulled out of the hat. Question 1. Easy one here. What is the name of my dog who can hear mostly snoring or pitter-pattering around the place? And he was in... He's in both episodes of the drams. And I had to edit something Richard said about him, but it was very funny. Not very pleasant. And I swear he does it just to be part of it. Question 2. What type of hat will I be pulling the winner from? I mentioned it quite a bit. Question 3. What was the name of the garment that I have cast on 3 times in the past year and pulled it out and is now sitting waiting patiently to be finished? Started, in fact. Question 4. What is my favourite dram? Question 5. What is the name of my wind turbine? Now, these are more for the listeners who have put in the hours listening to me, but I don't think it's too hard to find out all the questions. I think it's only fair that you get back something for your hard work, too. And Ivy Fox was one of them, and here is her message.
Hello, Louise. This is Ivy Fox from Ravelry, Catherine Rowan Jones, wishing you a wonderful 100th podcast. Thank you so much for all your hard work. You've brightened up my knitting for the last 4 years, and long may you enjoy doing it so we may benefit from your podcasting. Thank you for your time and effort. Cheers. Bye.
Now, it's not all plain sailing on a podcast. I'm not a computer geek, and sometimes I've required help from you along with your patience, and special thanks goes to Perplexed on Twitter for helping me on more than one occasion. I had gifted her the Hunter's Moon by Mindy Wilkes pattern for her trouble, and I thought it was appropriate considering my married name, and at that time, it was a full moon, and it's a really, really nice shawl, actually. Also, well, we've had some sad times too. Still fondly remembering Carrie of Knit Pearl Girl podcast and some other listeners who've been through some really tough times. I have made you cry sometimes and I've made you laugh out loud other times. Although I'm sure I don't know what you're talking about. Me funny? Is that funny haha or haha funny? Name the film. You continue to make me laugh on a daily basis, mostly through Twitter. Yes, Yarn Salad Stacey, that's your fault. You started me on Twitter. And there I found Daisy Frog's obsession with hobbycraft. I see JC Hant's pictures of Washington State. And PG Knitting Nurse is always pleasant to speak to on Twitter. So congratulations to Coggy on making it to 200 episodes recently. I know, 100. I'm making such a big song and dance. And there's people up there in 300s. And also to Paula from the Knitting Pipeline, who made it to the 1 million listener downloads. That's really nice when you see that number. I still can't get over you listeners in the numbers. Oh, here we go. If you need a pee stop, because time for the Daisy and Sandy giggle. Swap. I started doing the swaps really because of Train Knits. Yes, Train Knits all your fault. And Bale of the Balls Cheryl's fault. I miss you, Cheryl. We started swapping a wee box every so often, and then I started opening it up to the group. We started small with a textile artist postcard, and then the last swap was under a kilo swap, so you can guess from that sentence that it's expanded quite a lot. If you sign up to the swap for the 100 gram of 4-ply or sock weight yarn before the 20th of March of 2014, and then post it out by the 10th of April, that would be lovely. I am shamefully stealing this. Shamefully or shamelessly? I'm not sure. I'm stealing this idea as sort of, as it ties in lovely with the theme of 100, and this was from the Suze Knits group. She's a wonderful designer and friend of our friend, previously known as Mad Mum, Louise Tilbrook, who is a wonderful designer as well. Anywho, please sign up to the Ravelry group, which is Caithness Craft Collective. And I've just got it in for 100 grams of yarn. You might like to put in a wee card or a note, but this is just a yarn swap and nothing else. So keep the ideas for your future swaps coming in. Now, Timberflute has suggested that we have a knit along with the swap wool when we get it, which is a good idea, because it means that you're not just putting it straight into the stash and not doing anything with it. I wondered if you wanted to all do the same pattern, but then it was decreed not to, because some four plies better suit to socks and some to shawls or hats or kilts. Just because it's sock weight does not mean it has to be for socks. There's loads of good patterns out there, say a Bactus or a Swagger, a Travelling Woman, an Ishbel or an Allegra. Socks, oodles of sock patterns, or even a sock-heed hat. I love the photograph, Knit Spin Cake. That's a great pom-pom. Timberflute has a message too, but I will leave it to the end to play us out due to her playing some really lovely music, which I truly appreciate you going to all that trouble. Now, I would say it's time for a little something. I got Knit Spin Cake to make us all some appropriate cake. Some have no calories in it, which is very kind of her. And can you remember the recipe swap that we did with the charming Spajo collected the booklet for us? Of course, we'll have to let that settle for a bit before we do some more dancing. So let's again sit and listen to the me section. I started calling it this, as early episodes I seem to be referring to me quite a lot. And whilst it is my podcast about my crafty endeavours, I felt that I was being a bit big-headed and thought I would do what every other self-respecting British person would do and be sarcastic about myself. Hence the me. And I do like to hear what other podcasters are knitting and playing with and reviewing and working on, so I put my work into it. I feel sometimes it's a bit self-indulgent of myself, but then, well, I started, so I have to finish the story on it. And I try to sound I know what I'm talking about, but I never said I was an expert at anything. Some of you even appreciate the fact that I'm not an expert, as neither are you, and it makes you feel better about yourself. I can't shoehorn any names there. Moving on, look, geese. The geese are actually just about to fly north for the summer. There's loads of them in next door's fields and they only go there just before they fly north. Be jealous, Canada. Be jealous. You may have gold. We've got crocuses. I might drop this next episode. Now I have the shameless self-promotion paragraph. Boy, did you come through on Twitter with this. For when I asked who had a pattern to mention. The first one is the pattern Tessa Rose by Melissa Lemons. And this looks quite scary to me at first, but then I read the pattern notes. And it says the shaping is made by the technique of changing needle and stitch gauge and then embroider over when it's complete. It's $10 and available on Ravelry. I just went, wow, when I saw it. So I look forward to seeing what you all come up with for that one. Verily Claire has a new shawl out called Tulips from Amsterdam and it's just £3.50. Tulips for Amsterdam is knit in one piece from the bottom up. It's shaped with simple short rows and finished with an optional I-cord bind-off. The tulips are achieved with a clever use of slip stitches, which means you will be only working with one yarn at a time. You're using two colours in this. It is not a difficult pattern. The main skill required is concentration. The pattern includes comprehensive notes on all the techniques used. Looks complicated to me for the bit where you're doing the tulips, but if she says it's not, then it wouldn't be. And anyway, complication isn't complicated if you've got very good instructions, is it? So, Wyvern friend, very, very busy on Ravelry looking up patterns for me to talk about. She had 19 up the last count, but the one that I thought that was the most appropriate was the Dornach cushion, and it's £2. And it's an easy pattern for beginners to Fair Isle or Stranded Knitting, which could be worked in just two colours. And it was designed for the workshop in Dornoch. And I think this is the event I'm going to on Saturday, which is really cool. And it's by Hazel Tyndall, and she lives up in Shetland. And of course, she's met the lovely Louise Scully. It's a small world, really, isn't it? Mad Mum's Louise Tilbury has a 25% coupon off her designs in her shop from the 14th of March to the 21st of March 2014, which, thank you very much. And if you type in Keith Ness, and if you can't spell it by now, I'm ashamed of you, get to the checkout, it will take it off for you there. Thank you very much to everybody for that. And I think we'll have some party games now, because we're not tired yet. Right. Now, Daisy and Sandy are particularly fond of hide-and-seek in the dark. So, Angora, would you care to be it? Go over there, count to 30. Right, everyone else, hide. Hehe, what she doesn't know is we've all hightailed it through into the other room and shut the door behind us. Okay, that's quite naughty of me, really, isn't it? Scrappy-Doo is giving me such a telling off here. Okay, open the door, everyone giggle. That's how we find Daisy, you see. Mind the dog, don't trip over him. Oh, GC Randall, sorry. Quattro might be turning grey, but he's still mostly black and it's quite hard to see in the dark. Knitting Cathy's got caught first, so she's it next. Then we shall play my second favourite game of packages in the middle of the table. They have to be wrapped. And we all sit around the table and we roll dice and pass it to our neighbour on the left. So if you get a six, you take a package until there is none left. Oi, Les dear. She's got four of them. Right, now they're all out. We do that until they're all out. Then we set a timer of 5 minutes and we roll the dice. And if you get a six, you can steal a package from someone who has one. Yes, Whittle, that's the idea. Les dear doesn't really need all of them. Well done. Oh, look at Jay Doll hoarding all of them. Steve, you're going to have to get a six to get them off her. It can get a bit frantic, this game. And it's best not played with expensive china on the table. When the timer goes off and you are left, hopefully, with a present. Some of you will have one, some will have none, and some will have lots. Really, they're all full of Caton's chocolate anyway, so you can just share them out. Can't you, Rose Jones? Aw, look at poor wee shiny bees. She just wants a wee chocolate. Goodness knows she doesn't need any more yarn with that golden skein business going on. Now, over the years, I've been quite free with my advice. Hopefully, some of you got something from it. And I'm happy to help you out if I possibly can. I've critiqued a few new podcasts and I'm happy to say most of them are still going. I was happy to hear Sheila from Black Isle Crafts back this morning. She was one of mine. I'm proud. Now, not that I expect you to be exclusively my listener. No, no, no. We all need to listen to all the podcasts. But remember not to expect that we all listen to the same ones. There's plenty out there, and barring some sniffing, I'm pleased to say the ones I listen to are highly polished and have good content. In fact, I was considering stopping listening to the Knitmore Girls podcast because they're just too good. And when I listen to them, I think, oh, I wish I'd said that. No, I can't say it now because it'll think that I'm stealing. But I content myself with the fact that there's two of them and they can talk to each other. And it's good to have a bar to aim for. Plus, we're all different and I try to be unique. But I do know some of my podcast comes from various other podcasts, but with my Scottish twist. Actually, this has very little crafting in this episode, so I shall tell you now the me items, or you will feel totally cheated. I'm on the second lace chart of the Tornved shawl. As it's now lace, I am now at the picking of my moment to knit on it, so it's slowed down again. I got a lovely compliment last week when I was knitting on it, was from Swedish Karen. And it's going quite good guns just now. I'm really enjoying it. Last night, I cast on the second vanilla sock from the Socktopus book. I'm using Stornoway sock wool and those really thin needles. One's got the nail varnish on. We're talking 2 millimetre thin. And I'd like to finish these socks pretty soon because I seem to be working on them forever. But that's because they are learning socks. I need to remember that. Oh, now, I tweeted about this, but if you are thinking about learning to knit socks, or you've just learned to knit them, cuff down, do go listen to Kelly Petkin's Knit Pit podcast, episode 235, which is called A Meditation on Socks. She talks you through each stage of the sock, and I really wish I had heard this whilst I was learning first. I'm going to re-listen to it because she's some good tips. And I wasn't concentrating at first because I didn't realise what she was doing. I think it was putting the washing out at the time. I have been putting in the hours on my jelly roll quilt. I had over-dyed the backing material to the right colour. And it came out nicely. And when I was putting it together, did I realise I didn't have quite enough. It wasn't quite wide enough. Yeah. But thankfully, I had some batik fabric left over from the extra that I had to buy to finish the jelly roll in front. Because the pattern was for 40 strips and I had a jelly roll with 30 strips in it. So I put it together on the backing. Then I laid it on the floor, laid the wadding on top and then the quilt on top of it. Then I pinned it together and between going and looking at them, oh, the most amazing. And this wasn't just amazing, this was amazing. Northern Lights I've seen in years. We had it actually twice that week. And the first time was early enough, we got both bairns out to see it. And the second time was a bit later and Daisy was sparkle, so it was just sandy. It was quite light, but the colours were all there. There was reds, oranges, greens and whites, and their fingers were coming up and down. And it looks like the Batman signal kind of Oscar spotlights. And then it faded. And put the bairn to bed and Richard went off to get to bed a bit later. Just before I went to bed, put the dog out, I checked. And do you know, I am so glad I did. It was still quite white. I was stunned. And at first I thought it was smoke whizzing across the sky from a chimney. I thought, hold on a minute. That's the wrong direction for the wind. That's the lights. And it was whooshing across the whole entire sky from my vista of 10 miles west to 5 miles east in a millisecond. You know, sometimes when you're standing and chimney smoke can go quite fast over your head. Well, imagine this, but from one end of the horizon right over your head to the other horizon in that space of time. And because it was so high up, I realised just how fast it was. Jets just can't come close to that. This was astronomy and nature at its best. And it got more and more overhead and eventually it went south of us. And they could see this as far as south as Guernsey that night. Kind of a shame too, because when you take photos or video of it, you have it on a slow shutter speed. And then when you watch it, it's not the same. Plus, you get colours that the naked eye misses, so it's still not quite the same when you see it in real life. There's lots of videos and photographs marked Caithness Northern Lights online if you want to see them. I ran through to Richard, who was just coming out of the shower, and he came out with just his jacket on. Poor boy. But he says it was worth it. And I nearly woke up the bairns, but oh, they'll see that again in their lifetime. Now the quilt. Yeah, back to the quilt. I pinned it together badly, and my mum nearly wet herself laughing. She looked at Celia and she goes, oh look, the way she's pinned it. She doesn't know any better. The thing is, I do, I just completely forgot. I didn't read the back of the book where it says how to put your quilt together. I thought I knew all that. No, you have to pin it every 3 inches. This is quite a big quilt. So I didn't have quite enough pins, safety pins I was using. And I just pinned every block. So my mum started pinning it together and yeah. But then she borrowed me her needle gun tool and it's a quicker way of putting it together. So if you're a quilter, I think I'd recommend one of them. Other people baste it. I think that's the more traditional way to do it, where you put big long sewing lines through it. And then once you finish doing the quilting of it, you take out the sewing lines or these safety pins or these wee plastic sticky together things. Right, you know when you go into a shop and there is a label on, a paper label that tells you how much your item of clothing is and it's attached to the item of clothing, normally on the tag, by a plastic thing. Well, that is what this gun puts through your quilt, is these little tiny plastic things. Gizmo things, we'll call them that. There is a proper name, but I can't remember and I didn't look it up. Right, so yesterday, which was 2 days ago now, I sat all day and I quilted triangles. Yes, I missed one. But I can easily do that today when I've got this finished and I'm going to trim it, cut down the sides, and then sort out the binding. I'm nearly there, just in time for spring when I don't need the blanket on the couch anymore. Mm-hmm, yeah. For all you been knitting jumpers throughout the winter, you will know exactly what I mean. Now your jumper is ready, and it's going to be spring. But not in Canada, because you won the gold. I would totally recommend you all buy the March edition of Knit Now. I bought this on a complete whim. I was standing in Tesco's for a while down to decide which one to buy, because I don't really buy very many magazines, because I found that they kind of get the same after you've had them a year and a half. They go through the same sort of monotonous. But I thought, no, I need to speak about something on the podcast, so I'll buy this. And do you know what? I was really, really glad. This one stood out, but it wasn't for the free plastic gadget or the acrylic yarn, because that's what you all seem to get these days. But it was because it had a focus on the British yarn industry. And it was firstly the sea and the side of the sea, beside the sea, beside the seaside, beside the sea. There was quite a few patterns that were similar to ones that I have in my library, which then I thought, ugh, saved everybody a lot of money, I could have just bought this magazine. There's a tunic dress, some lovely fingerless mitts, and a really nice Gansey, and it's in a woman's voluptuous shape with a waist, rather than just the box version. And it can be worn back to front, which I thought was brilliant. I've never seen that before. And also in the book, there is a pattern for a puffin. Well, it's like a toy puffin. And I love puffins. And I would add a few more colours to his beak. That's the only thing I would say about that. On the pattern page, though, it gave instructions for a figure of eight cast on to do his wing. But this is another way to do toe-up socks. And I can't seem to grasp Judy's magic cast on. I get the theory. I've been shown a lot of times. I know the YouTube video, so don't say, oh, this is the YouTube video. My fingers won't do what she tells you to do. I'm like that at Cook School. In my head, I'm a black belt. In reality, I'm not even a yellow stripe on a white belt. I don't mind, because there is more than one way to skin this cat. Oh, you know, I think that's a horrible phrase, skinning a cat. There's not much eating in them anyway. Back to the magazine, there's no cat skinning here. The gift that they had was a supplement for becoming an expert knitter. And they showed you how to do extra techniques such as ferrule, intarsia, cables, lace, and even just other ways to cast on and off. And this supplement had a few patterns relating to the techniques. And again, I would knit a few of them, not least the tote cosy. So, if you want a magazine, do go grab this one. And obviously the iMate magazine, because that's always very good. Well, ladies and gentlemen and bairns, little monkey, that's you, you'll always be a bit bairny to me. We will now slow down for another dram section. I can have some tea. This time it's the special one, the Old Pulteney Liqueur Stroma.
We're dramming, happy birthday again. We're dramming, happy birthday again. We're dramming, we're dramming, we're dramming, we're dramming, happy birthday again. We hope you like dramming too. Happy birthday again.
Thank you. This second drams of this episode, we are now going to drink a Old Pulteney Liqueur Stroma version.
Given to me on Valentine's Day.
Yes, by me.
I'm barely touched.
Yes, and it's got like
he's still got the bow in it.
Now, there's no box for this, but it's a really bonny bottle. Now, Stroma is an island just north of Caithness, directly north of Canisbay, and it is how big?
2 miles long by 1 mile wide, and about 2 miles from John O'Groats.
We looked this up. And it is original malt whisky liqueur, 50 centilitres bottle, 35% volume, but I can't speak. Drink responsibly. And
not like us.
No, not like me at all, but it's my birthday and I'm very sensible about what I'm doing tomorrow. And it's got embossed in glass a bonny wave, which... Like, as in, not as in waving your hand. Everybody in the bus, wave your hand. Not if you're driving. No, in fact, if you're driving, wave at the person coming towards you. They'll wonder what you're doing. But wave in a nice way and smile, like, creepy. And this is a wave as in water. Because it is an island. Okay, and it does say drink responsibly in very dark writing that I can hardly see. So I think you have to re-drink the bottle first before you can get to that. And I digress. So it's a womanly shape bottle because it's got waist.
A voluptuous woman. Right, a voluptuous woman. Finish.
Apologies for the dog eating his tea in the background. I do this all times of the day and he still wants to be involved and make the noise and be on the podcast. So this bottle is a voluptuous bottle because it has a waist. It's got shoulders and hips and a lovely insert to the sides.
and it's not got a cork, it's got a screw top, but this bottle has got a bow on it because I bought it for Valentine's Day. So, Richard, what would you say the colour in the bottle was?
Oh, definitely Chewbacca.
Well, he's back. That is Chewbacca. And he's been rolling around in the beach by him. Now, the bottle, it's the wee tag around the bottle. It says, hailing from the far northeast of Scotland, off the Caithness coast, Stroma malt whiskey liqueur takes its name from this windswept Orcadian isle.
Stroma is known as a Caithness island.
Yes. Stroma originates from the Norse meaning island in the stream. Islands in the stream, that is what we are. No one in between, how can we belong? Just told you I can't sing. Which also refers to the dangerous currents of the island's shores, including the infamous Swilkey Whirlpool.
Remember going through the Swilkey when we were on the ferry, going on the tourney?
Yes.
We're facing this way, now we're facing 90 degrees that way.
Yes, and this was a big boat.
It wasn't just a big boat, it was a Claymore.
No, it wasn't, it was the Pentelina 8B.
I thought it was a Claymore.
No, Pentelina B. I've never been on the Claymore.
Yeah.
Stroma's lighthouse warns ships of these nearby powerful currents. Both of these seafaring elements are reflected in the bottle's design, hence the wave and... maybe it thinks it is the shape of a lighthouse, but I'm not seeing it myself. Anyway, it's a nice bottle. I really like it. It says, this fine liqueur is a careful blend of award-winning malt whiskies from Old Pulteney, a mix of lighter and more vigorous malt whiskies. Stroma is smooth, sweet-tasting and warming, unlike the island itself. It's not warm. Stroma's not warm. Stroma is packed full of robust and rugged undertones. Guaranteed to appeal to the more discerning drinker, this unique liqueur can be served over neat or over ice. Stroma malt whiskey liqueur from Old Pulteney leaves a pleasantly warm and comforting afterglow. Just what you need when you go to Stroma. Because they did used to live on Stroma quite a...
until 1962, I think.
1962. And actually, the book that I finished reading, the second one in the series of two, called Broken Horizons, she was born on Stroma. And the island that she writes about was actually supposed to be Stroma. But it was called... she called it Rumsey. So I thought that was quite interesting. I didn't get that it was Stroma. I was thinking it was...
Willie Simpson lives up the road. He's a laird of Stroma.
Yes, and he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So would we like to open the bottle and pour...
it's not a cork.
No. I haven't even got that crackling of the opening of the bottle because we've had some... oh, it sounds...
gloopy.
Gloopy. Means there's sugar, that's enough for me.
There's no cork to put back in. Very voluptuous bottle.
It is. Right. Colour in the glass, I'd say again. Chewbacca. Smell?
Chewbacca.
What, are you smelling Chewbacca? How do you know what Chewbacca smells like? Chewbacca smells like whiskey.
Not rolling it around the glass?
Oh, I forgot about that.
It doesn't really count because it's all sugary anyway.
Yeah, you get a lot of sugar.
Smell? We don't smell.
No, we haven't. It's got a smell. But I don't know what all. Whiskey liqueur.
No, it's kind of tarded, kind of. It's like a fusty kind of whiskey smell.
It is.
But just good in a way.
Aye.
It's like a whiskey that's been locked away in a cupboard for a long, long time. The cardboard box it's been in has gone fusty.
I would agree. Right. Slangevar.
Slangevar.
Happy 100 episodes.
Happy 39 years.
Oh, you can taste... oh, sugar. Honey.
Brown sugar. Honey.
And it's going down very, very smoothly. There's burny, but it's smooth as well, so you can get the sugar. Although I don't have much taste to it. Maybe it's because I've been drinking orange gin. Oh, it's going up through my nose.
Can't think of it. There's a flavour I've got there, but it's not vanilla. It's kind of caramelly, I think.
Butterscotch?
No, I think caramel. Toffee. Yeah, toffee.
Would you put this like Drambuie? I wouldn't.
No, I think it's it's a better kind of class of Drambuie or Glover.
Mm.
It's heavier. than that. You could probably have a couple of glasses of Drambuie or Glenlivet. You could only have one glass of this, in my mind.
Right, so what have you been up to?
Hmm?
What have you been up to?
Well, we've been preparing for, and tomorrow we'll be commissioning, new switchgear onto an existing transformer.
Mm-hmm.
I've been running every morning and nights. And what else have I been doing?
How much did you run a couple of weeks ago?
13.5 miles.
And where did you do it?
Round a loch. In Lochmoor, in the middle of the Caithness Flow Country. And it was fine. Did a good time. I was quite happy. Never done that distance before, not in a race. Well, I have. I've done further. But not before I broke everything. What?
So this was the day I did 9 kilometres. I was quite chuffed with myself. So I put up, get me 9.2 kilometres. Quite pleased with that. Directly below my post on Facebook was his picture of his T-shirt where his nipples played.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know a lot of runners are screaming at me, put Vaseline on them! Well, he's running this T-shirt before, but he said it was because the pins that he had, the safety pins that he had on his number, because he had a number.
I just put him up too high.
Put him too high and it rubbed. And he didn't even notice.
I didn't notice until the end when someone went, you've been chafing. I looked down and I had two massive big red spots.
And everybody was a bit, oh no, poor you. And all I'm thinking was, that blood will never come out.
But it did.
It did, because I put it in, I soaked it for a night. But then the very next day,
Quatch was coming back, by the way. Don't know if you noticed.
Yes, he's not yet. But the next time my mum saw Richard, she says to him, how's your nipples, by the way?
They're fine, Celia. Fine.
You know, it was just one of them, yeah, okay, conversations. So, but you did very well. I was very proud of you.
I was well pleased.
Ask me how far I've run.
How far did you run last Saturday? Sunday.
You should know, you were there.
I was there.
10.5 kilometres. Yay!
Well done you. And you didn't stop. And you talked all the way round.
I did. I even managed to slap him near the end. Not very fast. It was 1:10. But we'll have to work on that.
Slow and steady runs the race.
Well, I'm not going to be winning it, that's for sure.
Nor will I. Not when you do it in under 30 minutes.
I'll maybe do 5k under 40 minutes. However, I was quite pleased. Thank you for your support.
It's quite all right.
It was good. And who are you going to have around for your dram of stroma? Bearing in mind, this is my 100th episode.
Well, recently I had Cool Hand Luke, Lucas Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have his best buddy, his neighbour, Dragline.
Who's he?
He's George Kennedy from the same film.
All right.
Cool Hand Luke.
Okay.
Because they're a pair.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's like, you couldn't have one without the other.
Well, I'm afraid we're going to have to enlarge the kitchen for this and get a great big never-ending bottle of whiskey, because I'm going to have all my listeners.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, good stuff.
Because they've been with me, some of them
from the start. Are they all going to spend a night in the box as well?
Yeah, Toy Story 3, where he says, you're going to spend a night in the box, that's where it's from. But the listeners that have been with me from the very start, or even just 2 episodes back, I'm going to have you all around the kitchen table, and we're going to drink this bottle dry, whether you like it or not. So pull up a pew, get ready to annoy Quattro, and you're having a dry. Would you buy this again?
Hey, I think it's certainly a cut above most of the liqueurs I've had. It's nice. I like it. I'm a bit peeved about the write-up about it being an Arcadian Isle. It's not.
Maybe they're classifying the whole of the islands there
but
as Arcadians.
It's a Caithness distillery. I don't get that one.
That's the only thing I can think of is because it's the Orkney Archipelago. Because Swona, which is north of Stroma,
is part of Orkney.
But Caithness is generally always, as far as I know, looked after Stroma,
mm-hmm.
because it's that bit closer.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not necessarily, it was always, because...
Well, Caithness used to be part of it, isn't it?
Caithness and Orkney were, as we know in the Scottish segment, looked after by earls from Norway. Richard's is quite looking this up. I'm hoping that's not interfering, sending interference to the computer.
So do I.
Because all you hear is do 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 do. Somebody answered the phone.
Okay.
So anyway, nobody lives in Stroma now, and you can only go over with permission of the Laird, which is
Willie Simpson. Who goes over there and sleeps there when he's lambing.
He does. He's got sheep and he's got coos over there, and the houses you can go into, and one or two of them are still pretty well furbished. The other ones, pretty much rack and ruin. But it just became in such a decline that there was no living to be had. So the islanders that were on it left.
I just picked up something there. They've got a war memorial in Stroma.
Of course they would, because they were there to 1962.
And six people died in each of the wars from Stroma.
Wow. But the thing is, you'll find that around the entire United Kingdom.
You know, I'm amazed that I was working out west last week. I'm going down the Straths, Hallidale and Strathnaver and all. And it's not even villages or settlements with a couple of houses and all the old button bends round it. Explain what a button bend is.
Something from the Bruins.
It's a croft house. Basically one room, a split bit where they slept in one half and lived in the other half. And the animals came in one there as well. But they've all got war memorials. I just find that.
But the thing is, they killed off a generation.
Like a dozen names in them and stuff. Right. And did you know that of all the we're talking about this today at work, the per capita of areas that the Outer Hebrides had the highest per capita number of deaths of all the areas.
Yeah.
You look at Glasgow, Edinburgh, all these places, didn't have the same rate of deaths as the
Outer Hebrides.
Just because they were frontline infantry troops.
Oh, right. Yeah. I suppose. Well, we'll raise a wee glassy to them.
Raise a wee glassy to them.
There we go.
And it's topical because it's, 100 years as well.
It is.
Slán gé vath.
Lúchí vath, listeners.
Lúchí vath. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Louise, happy birthday to you.
And it's now dropped. Thank you. I do have a little objection to them saying it's an Orcadian isle. Stroma hasn't been Orcadian since 1574. Now, we looked it up, and social media Caithnesians took exception to it. I tweeted old Pulteney and was duly ignored. I mean, I was disgruntled and dismayed and all things dissed. However, I do like the dram, and I would buy it again, and I probably will. Oh, I had such a hangover on the Friday. Of course, we don't have one this time. Te amo, after today's party. This is magic drink. No hangover. No capes. And in fact, it's so good, you can carry on driving listening. All you driving, I like the thought of you waving and smiling if you are in traffic. If you're on the bus, clap your hands. We've also learned lots of Scottish and Caithnesian history. Again, way back at the start, I was asked to talk more about Scotland and Caithness. And I didn't know where to start, as there always seems to be a backstory to everything. So one fine day, I was in Thurso Library, and on the shelf where they sell off the older books, I managed to get myself a big A3 size picture book on Scotland, and with the intention of using all these beautiful pictures for envelopes. But in the front it had the history of Scotland, which I've abridged and told you bit by bit. So later on I took you on tours of Caithness on the roads that I regularly drive. I plugged you into Google Maps, Thistle Ridge Farms and Campus, and you followed me about. I haven't dropped this, but I've done most of the drives around my usual haunts. But because we've been doing Caithness Game of Thrones, where we're talking about bite-sized chunks of Caithness history, and we're only just finished with the Vikings in Noggin the Nog, so we're now into the Sinclairs and Knitfull Deirdre, who's my swap partner in the Susie Knits swap, her husband should be interested in that because that's his ancestors, which is really quite a tenuously cool link. I love that. Okay. Everyone up on the dance floor for a few more reels and waltzes and then a progressive strip the willow. Stop your giggling, Coggy. It's a dance. I see you've got the hang of this one, Swansky. Kirsty O'Milly and 100 Projects. Pay attention or you'll get flattened. And a big tip for this dance is go out a good, solid hold of your partner's arm or you get flung and, well, Coggy doesn't need you landing on her. Now, I know I've missed some of you out. I've tried to shoehorn you all in, but this shoehorn's not 40,000 big enough. And I've tried to put the ones that regularly message me or wrote on the boards. I mean, there's the lovely Flying Monkeys, Fae Dreamer, Fraydale, FK, Strick. And that's just the first four Fs. Then there's Suff and Sparkling Spin and AC Liff and Shorty Sutures, who podcast you can find. And then there's Boston Jane, Commuter Knitter, Curious Handmade, Knitting a Story, Lovely Ladies, The Lost Geeks, Arlen, Maria from Subway Knits. Oh, I could just keep her in my pocket. The Knit One Geek Two Magnificent Ladies. And not forgetting Amanda from Craft Life. Please start again, Petal. I miss you. Shoppy section. I've been encouraged with the Shoppy section by Crochet Star and Marta Schmarta and Owl Print Panda. Oh, she's lovely. I would like to point you all in the direction of a local to me Etsy shop, which is called Coloured in Caithness, and it's run by Rachel. She sells yarn and woven items that she's dyed in the colours that she sees around her in Caithness. And she's at www.etsy.com/shop/coloured in Caithness. And remember, that's the British way of spelling coloured. So it's C-O-L-O-U-R-E-D in Caithness. Also, if you feel you want to contribute to my continued running of the podcast and get stuff back, please go and visit my shop. I don't know why I'm telling you this because there's nothing in it yet. Which is www.etsy.com/shop. Caithness Craft at some point, because I will be putting stuff in there and then you can buy it, and that's your donation to me. Well, it's not really a donation, it's you're buying something. Or message me and request something. I like them. And when I look around my house, every room has something originated from the podcast. The bairns have got toys in the rooms in the toy room from all around the world. I've got crochet coaster from LP Star sitting beside my computer with my cup of tea on it. A bag from Bobby, who's RK4CDS1 on Etsy. In the bathroom, I've got a crocheted starfish from Trine. In my bedroom, there are 9 knitted coasters from Cibola. All the bookmarks I was sent. In the kitchen, I have a pot holder from Twin St. Jan designed for me. And pan grabbers from Des Holton. You really are part of my everyday life. And I check my messages through the day. I might not always reply straight away, but I do get back to you. I organise every second week around the next podcast. I go to festivals I wouldn't normally dream of going to, and organise my holiday around going to them. And speaking of which, I'm going to Dornoch this Saturday, and loads or Wick are going as well. CityLink bus is fully booked, I believe. Poor you if you're just trying to get from A to B. I'm taking the car and possibly some bairns and a mum. And if you're there, please introduce yourself. I was sad I'm going to miss Sheila because she's going on the Friday. But the event is on Friday evening through to Sunday evening, and they have classes and exhibitions by the Highland Quilters, and it looks like it's going to be a really good day. Please enter the competitions by the 27th of March 2014. Sign up to the swap for the 100 grams of 4-ply sock weight by the 20th of March, and take use of the offers of the previously mentioned. Oh, the show notes. I tell you, I hate writing show notes. I understand how important they are for getting the links back, but that's why they're getting a bit shorter and leaner. I don't like writing them. I will be back in a fortnight with the competition winners, and I've lined up some new Designer Alley entrants. If you would like to shamelessly self-promote yourself in future episodes, please get in touch. I fear that this is the end of the party. There will be more of them. Oh, stop crying, Wollum Bay Dreamer. I've not forgotten my Antipodean listeners. You and Hawthorne C. And Taffophile. Oh, you're always there. And in the tradition of all Scottish parties, we have to have a fight. This is a fight over the yarn that was donated. Oh, you're too polite. Oh, no, no, not Minnits or Oxyrun. Look at them go. But here comes Sheila O'Keefe and Tooth Fairy. Oh, I think Sheila got it. Bless her. And the final Scottish tradition is for us to go and get up and form a circle. A circle, melon money circle. Pretend it's a pie shell and you're on the outside. Okay, everyone, hold your neighbour's hand. If you're from Fife, that's your Neebs. I love that. Neebs. I shall play you Auld Lang Syne, badly, on the piano. And you can all drown me out singing it. But wait until the chorus before we cross our arms. And then we hold the hands. Or you're not associated with me. And no, I can't remember the second verse words either. Okay, now everyone begin the tradition of standing on everyone else's feet, running into the centre of the circle and back out again, still holding hands. And no, you can't get out of it, Rostia. I've tried that. Like I say in Hogmanay, Auld Lang Syne is not just for New Year. We have it at the end of every party. See, I'm obsessed, overwhelmed, overcome, and lots of other alliterations starting with O. So Louise Hunt, you have started small. You might have not had the most listeners, the best production, but you do have the best listeners. And for that, she's grateful. She's blessed. And this is my podcast life. Blah, blah, blah section. Thank you very much for listening. I do appreciate you taking this time to download and listen to me, splaff! But hopefully it was a good party and your feet aren't too sore. Any forgotten items will be claimed by the bairns and maybe sent back if they don't fit. My email is keithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. I'm on Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook and Instagram as keithnesscraft. You can access my Flickr photographs from LouiseG2010 and you can get the Podbean site as www.keithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. I would actually like to say thank you to Podbean for hosting me for the past few years. The music at the start was Strauss, also Sprach Zarach Thirsta, and the end is Timberflute with her message and music, and it's very special to me and I do appreciate the fact that you did that for me. So, I'm going to end with her message and music. Thank you for listening. Whew. And keep on crafting.
Hi Louise, it's Timberflute from Toronto, Canada. Congratulations on reaching 100 podcasts. I really look forward to my virtual visits to Caithness every 2 weeks. I'd like to express my appreciation for your efforts with a wee Scottish tune. It's the only one I could find with a knitting theme, and it's called Knit the Pocky.